off with a question. So basically, there's an Isra of learning on Tisha B'Av, right? Isra of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av, because Pikudei Hashem Misharim Misamchei Lev, right? That learning is Misameach the heart, and the Simcha takes you away from Avelas. So the question is, so could you say, could one say, Karbanos, Ezio Mekoman, Rabbi Shmuel, maybe Psuka de Zimra, Az Yashir, Shema, Kriya Satora, Haftora. There's a lot of things which are learning. So could you, how do you do those? Right? So the Ramban says that anything which is part of the Seder Hayom is Mutter. Right? That's what he says. He says some people are knowing not to do karbanos. Right? But he says, no, it's not, no, it's mashma not that way. Because the ain lanu b'isser b'seder hayom. There's no isser to do the seder hayom. Okay? Umr kandarko, mein chalshish. You have a right to do it kandarko, and you don't have to worry about it. Okay? So the question we're left with is, what's the yeter? I mean, who cares that it's a seder hayom? So it's seder hayom, but today don't do it. Because it's an isser Talmud Torah. Right? He's saying, look, Kriya Shema is a Talmud Torah, but it's Docha, it's a Deraisa. But I mean, is he not saying like the Chova of, there's always a Chova of Karbanos in that sense. Right? Maybe say like this, that the Isser is to be Koveya yourself to learn Torah. Okay, which means, like, look, you have your normal Seder Hayom. It's not an Isser of the Maisa Talmud Torah. Because, look, these are Maisa Talmud Torah. But the question is what do you, so to speak, what do you do in your free time on Tisha B'Av? Okay, well, what do you do in your free time normally? You learn Torah. So you can't, that's not the way you spend your time on the Tisha B'Av. But the Seder Hayom is a Seder Hayom. You're not, like, what are you doing? You say, oh, let's learn now. So you don't say, no, let's learn now, let's daven. Let's do the normal Seder Hayom. So it's like, while it's true, the normal Seder Hayom incorporates limud, but you're not being koveya yourself to do limud. You're being koveya yourself to do your daily routine, to do your Seder Hayom, the Seder HaTvila, the whatever, right? So the thing is, that's not the Isser. The Isser isn't because you're saying words of Torah or because you're doing the technical Maisa HaMitzvah of Talmud Torah. But it's like the Kfiyas of the Gavra is that you should be Koveya yourself in Avelos, and being Koveya yourself in Talmud Torah takes you away from being your Kfiyas in Avelos. But being Koveya, when you're just going along with your daily routine, you're not being Koveya yourself in Talmud Torah, you're just being Koveya yourself in your daily routine. They're not answering your daily routine. They're answering a kfiyas of Talmud Torah. So you can't decide to say, I'm going to learn now. Right? That's not what you're going to do today. When you have free time, that's what you should be doing, is mourning. It's not a time to sit and learn. But you don't say, you would never call a guy, oh, he's sitting and learning now. You're just doing, you're doing Kriya Torah, you're doing Krishna, you're doing Karbanos, you're doing whatever. That's a different character. In terms of the Gavras, it's Askas. It doesn't have a character that he's Osik in Talmud Torah. It's a character that he's Osik in the Seder Hayom, in his daily routine. I don't mean Koveya in that sense, that it's short time or long time. No, I don't think so. I think the point is like, what do you do in your free time? Koveya, I mean, is how are you going to decide to spend your time? Now, if you spend a minute or you spend 5 minutes, I don't know if there's a shir to it. The question is, how are you going to spend your time? So it means a certain amount of time in the day, which is optional. There's a Seder Hayom, which is a Seder Hayom, which is your daily chores, so to speak, your daily obligations. But now you finish davening, you finish your Seder Hayom. Now the question is, what am I going to do? So choosing till you can't learn. You have to mourn. You have to think about mourning, think about avelos, to say, I'm going to do learning, whether it's for long or for short. I don't mean koveh. I mean, it's like the gavras. What are you osik in? You can't be an osik in Talmud Torah. You have to be an osik in Avelos. But when you're davening, you're osik in your Seder Hayom. That's a type of asaskas. You're doing your davening. You're davening now. Well, you say, well, you're not davening. You're saying, Az Yashir, that's Talmud Torah. Well, I'm davening. That's part of your davening. That's part of the Seder Hayom. It's part of your ordinary, your daily routine. You're not being osik. You're not convey yourself. You're not directing your energies towards Talmud Torah. Whether it's for short or for long isn't the point. It's more the fact is, what is the gavra deciding to do? He's not deciding to do anything. He's just following his ordinary seder hayom. But now outside of the ordinary seder hayom, now he's choosing what he wants to do. Now your choice today is going to be different than other ones. But yeah, that's the kind of thing you're getting at. It's like you're doing it because you're obligated. But not like the obligation is docha. It's not like the obligation of kavanah is so strong that it's docha. It's just you're doing it not because I'm deciding I want to learn. I'm doing it because that's my daily obligation. So since that's my daily obligation, that's not what the gavra is doing. He's responding to his daily obligation, his daily, so to speak, ritual of prayers. So that's not the iser. The iser is, what are you doing? You're saying is, I want to learn now. So you know, it's like optional learning. You're learning because you're deciding to learn, not because that's the daily routine. Reminds me, I don't know if it's exactly related to something that I remember Rebbe once said. This is that the question is when it comes to learning Ion. Like, could you learn? Like, you let learn, let's say, Tamram, Shabim, Yahu, Kina, Seicha, right? Those things, right? Mm-hmm. So when you learn them, could you learn them and like be ma'ayan into them? You know, we're like in Avelas. You're sitting Shiva. You want to learn Moikatan? You're in Avelas. So could you be ma'ayan into them? Right? You're going to weigh which argument is going to bring Simcha. Right? Or does it just mean you could learn them? Yeah. I mean, I guess when you talk about Eov, or I guess the Eov and Yirmiyahu and Ramam Shemiyahu Kinas, I guess that's part of the learning, is to learn them in depth, because that's the theme of the day. But I guess maybe the question was about like halachos of halachos. You're learning the halachos of Avelos, now you're going to go into the area, and once you go into the area, you kind of become involved more than not in the halacha, but in the whole abstract analysis of the sugya. So, I don't know exactly. I mean, you can argue, look, that's still fine, because that's the inyan you're involved in. But I remember Rebbe said, practically, he says that you should, if you're doing something in Avelos, you should begin, like, on a practical question. And then once you're doing it, then you could just keep learning. Like, learning is learning. So I think his point was, like, the nature of your directing yourself towards a practical. And then, like, you can't do the practical without learning it. So then you learn it, and you have a right to engage. Once you're learning it, you're right to engage. So I feel like that's kind of what he's saying here. It's like you can't be koveya yourself just to learn bein. But like you're koveya yourself to look into the halacha. And then once you do that, it's like that's the way you do it. That's just the nature of the way your mind goes. There's no issur that you have to block your mind from thinking. It's more a matter of what are you being koveya yourself for. So as long as it was started, that's what he wanted to say. It's a similar point in this. I don't want to say not exactly the same, but he's saying it's like as long as it starts in a practical Shaila, so then you could, something which is yes, related to the practical, then you could engage, even though it becomes more abstract than that. So, but I would say, it's like, if you're doing it, there's a natural process of learning. Now, learning, you can't close your mind up to a given source which cross-references. I mean, it depends. If you're going on a tangent, specifically to go on a tangent, I mean, you know when you go on a tangent which has nothing to do with the thing. Sometimes a tangent is part of the way you discover knowledge. So I would think, I don't know what he held exactly, but I'm saying, I would think it would go by the nature of what you're doing. It's like part of this, it's an honest, you have a right to be involved in an honest search for knowledge. An honest search for knowledge, sometimes your mind goes towards certain side areas, but that's, you never know where you're going to go. You never know how you're going to gain insight. Ultimately, you're trying to gain insight to you. Now, Rabbi Yashi quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, pasuk in Tehillim brings you there, and you have to think about the pasuk in Tehillim. You don't know if it's going to help you for you if Rashi's bringing you there. And in the meantime, you're going to have to engage your mind in learning Tehillim. But you're not, as opposed to saying, oh, it just brought up Tehillim Sadaim. That's interesting. I just want to learn about Tehillim Sadaim. You know, let's just learn this again Tehillim Sadaim. That's totally different, you know. But I think his point is learning is learning. Learning by its nature involves ideas, involves thinking. And the thinking isn't always going to be, it might be simcha. It might involve simcha. But the nature of what you're doing is not you're pursuing simcha, you're pursuing the limud of the yom. And if the simcha comes about, and it's not the maisa iser, it's the fact is what are you being koveh yourself to do. So I don't know, that sounds similar, you know. That's what I'm saying. It's not the Isser of the Maisa. It's an Isser of the Kvias. That's what I'm saying. If it's Isser Maisa, then Ezum Makoman, you're also doing it. It's a Maisa of reading Mishnah. But if the nature of the Isser is the Kvias, what's the Gavra deciding to do? What's he directing his energies towards? Mm-hmm. So if you're directing your energies towards the Seder Hayom, that's not the Isser. Even if you're in Vadu, a Maisa of Lima. If you direct your energies to Hilchas of Elas, then that's not the Isser. Even if it may involve, you're getting involved in abstract ideas about the Ian. Again, you could have argued altogether, who cares if they're abstract ideas about Ian? Bottom line is, it's Ian about Avelas, and Avelas is then Yon Adiyom. It seemed like Rebbe is not saying that. It seems like Rebbe is holding what allows you to do Avelas is because of the practical. Just Stam to be involved in the abstract ideas of the Sugyas and nitty gritty of the Sugyas of Avelas per se, seems like he was holding is not Mutter, intrinsically. It's just that you begin with something practical, and then you have a right to branch out, because that's the way learning is. But again, I could see arguing that look in intrinsically in Yanei Avela, so then Yanei Diyoma, and that's not taking away from Avela altogether. But again, I don't think that's what he was arguing. But what he was arguing is more in line with what we're saying about Seder Hayom. What he was saying is for like Hilchas Avelas. It could be he would say if you want to get involved in Eov, maybe you don't need the practical. Eov is not a practical nature of Eov as you learn about Midas Adin. So that's not practical. That's Bechlal, different type of Hatter. You know, but practical.
You need to know what to do.
Yeah, you need to know what to do. Yeah, right. You know what to do. But again, you could have argued. Yeah.
For instance, the Gemara says you can be involved in Kinos. I think Kinos Echad Varmram Shavimio. Eov Kinos Varmram Shavimio. Something like that. It doesn't say Hilchos Tisha B'Av. It could just be, like, obviously you can do Hilchos Tisha B'Av because how are you going to have to keep halacha? So you're doing an area, you have to legally into halacha. So you have a right to look into the halachas of the Yom. How are you supposed to act? And once you do it, and then looking into it involves analysis. One year he said this over, and he gave this year. There was like the topic, you know, he used to give hopefully give this year. But he was often given a Tisha B'Av shiur in the afternoon. And I remember one year the topic of this year was, could I give this year? Something like that, you know? Could I give this year and every other year a shiur? You know, so I think he developed like this type of, I don't remember exactly the idea, but this is vaguely what I remember. And then I remember when I was sitting Shiva, I remember asking him, like, we all have our Chabura on Shabbos mornings. So the question is, what do we do? Because in Shiva, it's also the Esher Talmud Torah. So I think that's what he said. To begin with something practical, and then you could branch out. You know.
Okay, so back. Let's go back to Tainus on the bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph. Okay? So, the Gemara said, the Mishnah said that in the Sudam of Sekas, four lines from the bottom. In the Sudam of Sekas, you're not allowed to eat meat or drink wine. Okay? The Sudam of Sekas. So the four lines from the bottom. Tana. Aval ochel hu basar maliach. You're allowed to eat salted meat. Veshosa yayin migita. And you're allowed to drink wine from your... It's like the pit, I think, right? The gas is like the pit, where they have the wine storing, something like that. Okay. What's that?
I thought it was
a
wine press.
A wine press. Oh, the press. Okay. And from the press, it goes into like this pit, I think. Yeah. And I think it's in that pit. Okay, so let's see Rashi. It says, Yain migito, chadosh umasak. It's new and sweet. Ve'ino tov ki yain yashan. And it's not good like old wine. Umashalshal umazik. Gives diarrhea and it damages you.
Wow.
Okay, so it's not good. It's not good for it doesn't taste very good, it's hurts your stomach. Right? Okay. So then the Gemara continues a little bit. It says ad kama, how long is considered basar maliach? Basar maliach ad kama. Salted meat until how much? Okay, how much salting is it? That it's, let's see Rashi. Basar ad kama. Have basar gamor. Dela have basar maliach. How much is it salt? Is it regular basar so that it's not defined as salted meat? Right? Like, I guess how long are you leaving it in its salt such that it becomes salted meat? I guess every salt meat you salt, you have to malicha, to kasher. Right? So, unless you do tzli, but whatever. I mean, it can't just mean meat that you salt. Right, so it must mean it's you leave it in its salt. It becomes like some aged salted meat.
So how long do you have to leave it to be salted such that, right, I think that's the way they'd preserve meats, is by salting it. Right? They didn't put it in the fridge, so it's going to be sitting in the salt or whatever. So how long such that it's the law of a basar mliach, right? So when's it, how long is it basar gamor such that it doesn't become basar mliach? Right? Because I guess the minute you put it in the salt, you don't say now it's basar mliach and it's mutter. So it must be it's still basar, even though it's in the salt, in the first moment it's still basar gamor. So when does it transform and become basar mliach? Kol zman shehu kishlamim. So that's what the Gemara says. Kol zman shehu kishlamim. So Rashi explains, shelo shehu b'melcho ela shnei yamim v'layla echad. Kizman achil shlamim. Okay, so shlamim, you have 2 days and one night. The one night intervening, the 2 days. So as long as it doesn't sit in its salt for that length, then it's still considered basar. Right, so if you leave over from the basar zevach hashlamim, tvei lo ashkan de mikri basar. But after that time, you don't see the Torah calls it, right, nosar from the basar zevach hashlamim. So, but maybe once it's nosar, once it gets past that, maybe it's not called basar anymore. She'atam nifshal achrei beis v'gimel yamim. Because the flavor gets lost after 2 or 3 days. So you're saying at some point, you don't see it's called basar. So it could have just said 2 days and one night. And you would have known the halacha. But it's saying, where does that come from? It comes from the fact that they see that at some point, it's no longer, so to speak, called basar. Because it degrades. At what point? Well, you see, by nosar, it calls it nosar mi b'sar zevach hashlamim. It's nosar left over from being basar, but after that, maybe it's no longer called basar, right? And that's why, because it's degraded. Okay, and then the yain migito ad kama, and likewise, how long is the wine in the press considered yain migito? How long is it considered, I guess, normal new wine as opposed to the old wine? Kozman shehu toses. Okay, Rashi. Yain migit, I'm sorry, toses, roseach. Bubbles. Okay? Bubbles.
It means fermenting, right?
Yeah, it's fermenting. So it gets little bubbles, I guess, which come to the surface of the wine. While you're doing that, while you're fermenting, it's going to be bubbling, and at some point it stops doing that. Okay? Right. Male abuos, machman satsisa. Right. And the Gemara also says, Tana yain toses ein bo mishum giloi. Also, wine while it's bubbling isn't have giloi. So giloi is when you leave wine open and by snakes, right? If you leave your drinks exposed, it used to be there's it'd be usher if you keep drinks uncovered because there's a shash that the snake is going to put poison into it, right? So ein mishum giloi rashi she ein nachash shosehu because the nachash isn't going to drink it ki yivrach mir sichaso because he's afraid of the bubbling. So a bubbling wine, you don't have to worry about it. The snakes are afraid of the bubbles. Okay. So v'kama tzisasa, how long is that? Shalgemel yam, 3 days. Okay. So wine, which is in the first 3 days, right, is mutter. And meat, which is after two days, right, 1.5 days, is mutter. Right? At the shidun ha'sekes. Right? So, what's the idea here? Does it mean, here's my question, does it mean that it's not basar? I know Rashi said at one point, it's not nikra basar. But, is that true? That it's not basar? Like, what is it? Becomes something else. I mean, the Isser says, basar migito, right? Rashi says, dave basar gomor. Lave basar maliach. So it doesn't sound like it's not quite basar. It sounds like it's basar maliach, not basar gamor, right? It's just not called basar in the Torah past that point, right? Yeah, right. Exactly. Could you have it with dairy? I don't think you'd be able to have it with dairy. So I think it's basar.
Presumably, right? You basar chav, but presumably it's still basar.
And the yayin. Is it, if a guy pours it, is it not Yain Nesach? I don't really know, but... What? I don't know.
Do you see a gafen on it? I don't know. It's a good question. What are the details of the dina?
So when you look at Tosis, Tosis talks a little bit also. Tosis says like this. The alpha gav the kamar shas the basar maliach mutar called manchaino kishlamim kilomar shavar yosem in beiz yom shchitasa. It's 2 days after shchita. Right? Apparently it's a lav dafka that it's salted. Sounds like it's more, it's not the salt itself, it's more just the length of time. It's just the salt is what's going to preserve it, that length of time. Seems that way. Afilu hachi ledidan asur lechol basar. Afilu meluach mizman meruba. For us, Tosis is saying, it's asur even if it's salted. Right? For a long time? Strange, right? I mean, the Gemara is saying it's mutar, and Tosis is saying, no, for us it's asur. Kivan da'anu regilam lechol basar melech, as we eat basar melech. Right? Strange, right? So, what does it go by? Custom? I mean, the Gemara says it's mutar. Right? It's funny that he's saying it goes by our minhag. I guess they used to have, I don't know, salami or something. Whatever, they'd have salted meat, right? So what's the heter? What's the nature of this heter? And then, secondly, how is it that Tosis is saying is that it depends on the times, and it could become undone based on the minhag? I think plimshot is that, you see, the chiddush here is that you don't say there's an isser achilas basar, per se. The shame basar, the shame yayin, isn't the isser. That's what you normally tell. You say it's an isser of achilas basar, she is yayin. So these are basar, these are yayin. Right? So it should be also. But it's an achila of simcha. Right? It's a se'uda of avelos, and the se'ud, simcha, is a contradiction to the avelos. Right? So you can't have a basar or a yayin shal simcha. Right? So it's saying is that there are exceptions, not anything which has a shame basar or a shame yayin is an achila shal simcha. There's apparently categorically basar maliach or yayin migito. These are a different class, even though technically, on a technical level, they are basar and they are yayin, but it's not basar gamor. Basar wouldn't be called an item of simcha if everything was maliach. Right? It's not basar gamor. Basar, as this entity of gamor, means it doesn't have the features, the properties of basar. The yumminess, the simchaness of basar doesn't exist when it gets old. You could still eat it. Technically, in terms of basar b'chalav, it still is basar. But as a item of a mesameach, it becomes undermined. Right? And arguably, that's why you can't eat it for kodshim anymore. It's not going to be part of the idea of achilas kodshim. It's like an achila of simcha l'fnei Hashem. So once it degrades, it's nosar, becomes like spoiled. It no longer is that entity. Right? Achilas basar of kodshim is like a chashiv achila. And yayin also, so the yayin is also, it's not the shame yayin, it's yayin hamesameach, right? But it's saying is that when it's new, it doesn't taste very good. It hurts your stomach. It's just not the experience of shtiyas yayin. So it's like a certain type of an experience, which is asur, which undermines the sidum hafzekas, the shame avelos. But there's no formal tsuras ha'isur on a maisa shtiyas yayin or a maisa achilas basar. That's what this chiddush is teaching you. You would have thought not that way. You would have thought that it's formalized. There's a shame that there's an isser achilas basar. And then, you're telling me this thing that doesn't, it's so old that I don't feel it. Well, whatever. And it's an isser. You can't just say things like that. Right? Normally, that's not the way an isser works. And once you say this, that it's not a formalized isser, but it's an isser of achilas basar hamasameach or yayin hamasameach, now Tosis follows very nicely. Because he's saying is that nowadays we eat deli, we eat salted meat. It's part of our the regular derech. So now what are you going to say? Why is it not mesameach? Somehow, apparently, we got into that. Whatever it is, why we do it. The fact that we're doing it means that we've somehow rendered it into a dvar simcha. Right? Whatever it is, I mean, normally it's saying it's in the time, the Gemara, and saying it, apparently it was gross, it wasn't good anymore. That's why people wouldn't be eating it normally. Right? It's lacking its qualities of mesameach. But the fact that somehow it's not clear, maybe they figured out how to refrigerate it, how to age it, how to this, how to that, or whatever, their tastes changed, or whatever the case is. But once it becomes something which is related to as basar, it's basar maliach, So then now it's going to become Asur again. So normally you don't say that kind of thing. Halacha, as the Gemara says Halacha, you don't just change Halacha based upon your time. But if the Halacha is that the very nature of the, it's not a formalized Halacha. The nature, if it were, then you wouldn't have been able to do Maliach in the first place. The nature of the thing, you can't have a Basar Mesameach. Tosa just saying is, do we really relate to Basar Maliach differently than other Basar? We eat it like it's a Simcha the same way. Let's have meat for dinner, let's have a deli sandwich or whatever. And it could be like in a Chalai, like nowadays, right? For instance, you have refrigeration, Pasha. Right? Pasha. It's not a matter of a technical, formalized difference. It's a matter of how the thing, right? This Gemara, I don't have much to say about it, but it's, you know, might as well not skip it. The bottom, two lines in the bottom. It says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Ka Chayim in Hago Shor Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eli. This was the minhag of Yehuda Rabbi Eli. Erev Tisha B'Av, Mevi'en Lo Pascha Reva V'Melech. They bring him dried out bread with salt. Okay, dipped in salt. The Yoshev Ben Tanar L'Chirayim. And he'd sit between, I don't know, the oven and Kira, right? Okay, different type of ovens, right? Which Rashi says, Makam Menuval Shibabayas, it's like a disgusting part of the house. I guess it was like ash and right, dirt, right? The Ochal Vishosel of Kiton Shalmayim. And he'd eat and he drank a, I don't know what a ketone is exactly, a shame kli. Okay, some sort of a kli, okay, of water. And it was Doma to him as if he had a Mesimot Tolfanov. Like he was an Onen. Right? That's the status of Aninasis. Mesimot Tolfanov. It's like he is his corpse ready to go. Right? Ready to be buried. Before Tisha B'Av. I mean, you do see precedent that there's a difference. Tamidei Chachamim are a different new Gevelos on Tisha B'Av. And I remember the Rambam bears this out. I remember Rebbe gave a shiur about this. How there's a different day. Tisha B'Av is different for Tamid Chacham and for ordinary people. Right? And we defined it when we did the Ramban. We saw that. That there's the technical Nehugah Avelos for everybody. And then there's the Gavra of Avelos. The Tisha B'Av of the Tamid Chachamim, who truly appreciate the Mikdash, they're Gavras of mourners. And they take on more Chamor Nehugah Avelos, which normally are reserved for like the first 3 days of Avelos for Bechi. Because it impacts them in a more intimate, personal way, even though it's old, even though it's a Avelos Yishana, still. But a regular person, it doesn't impact in an emotional way. And he just does it normally. Halachos, which are set up, Nihugei Avelos, which are set up for an ordinary person. So Rita Rav Eli, he was so broken that he's just eating bread and water, and he's like totally disinterested. He just has to, you know, get the bread down, get the water down, the kindness is coming. But he's just sitting there and on the floor, rolling in the ashes, right? But what's Pshat Kamisha Mesa Muta Lefanov? That's funny. Because Mesa Muta Lefanov is an Onen, right? An Onen is a person who is Mesa Muta Lefanov means that. I'm trying to remember, maybe Chris talked about this a little bit. But Mesa Muta Lefanov is, he hasn't yet buried the mace. So the Avelos hasn't yet set in, right? But he's an Onin. He has certain dinim where the Nehugei Avelos are kind of don't really kick in quite yet. Because he still has to bury the mace. It's Machlokas, actually. Oh, that was the thing. It's Machlokas, Rishonim. Whether or not you have Nehugei Avelos in Naninas. I think the Rambam holds not, and the Ramban holds yes. I think that's the other way. It might be flipped. But, so the question is, how is he, why does it say, what's the mashal? Kamisimesh Mutal Fanov. Right? It's that mashal. Right? I mean, Mesh Mutal Fanov means before you do Kvura. The mace is in front of you. It's there. It's in the room. It's whatever. And it's present, you still have your chiyuv of kvura. And when you're mesa mutal fanav, I think, yeah, there's a mesa in front of you. But now what? What's Tisha B'Av? Why is it mesa mutal fanav? Like, what's the analogy? It's like the mesa, you're going to bury the mesa mikdash. What's he talking about? Why is that, you know?
What's the analogy altogether?
by mace umudel fanav, you're not mourning yet because you have to bury the mace, and then you're going to mourn. Right? But here, it's like, you know, what are you getting ready for? It's not like. Like, what's the.
You're
osing
in, like, the
trachea mace. Yeah, you're osing in trachea mace, but here, are you osing in the. Oh, you mean you're osing in, like, the. You mean they're filling yourself up or whatever?
Preparing to be able to fast?
You're not osing, you're osing in, like, your preparation for the. Because the suda has a din of, like, preparation for the availus.
Right, but this isn't. I don't know if you could say burial of the mace is like preparation for the avelos.
Right. So, I mean, it's burial of the mace. I mean, yeah, it's true.
No, that's
yeah, it's thing like Isaiah saying that similar to what I'm saying. I think also that normally it's like an onin. In a certain sense, mourning is cathartic. In some sense, it's like you're mourning. You're involving yourself in the mourning, and that kind of heals. It's like you're crying over the mace. You're involved in the mace. And when a person dies, the mourning is the process Torah sets up to deal with it. And you're an osik in the mourning. But an onin isn't able to mourn yet. Because he has to first deal with kvura. So in a certain sense, that puts him in like a certain type of a troubled state. Where it's like he has a need to mourn, but he can't mourn. Because he first has to deal with the mace. So that's like, it's like mourning itself is, in a certain sense, it's comforting that you're able to mourn over the thing. You're able to cry over it. You're able to cry over the loss and devote your energy towards the loss. But an onin, it's like they know they want to devote their energy to the loss, but they're mesmul tefanav, and the mesmul tefanav is ma'akev, your involvement, your real involvement in the loss. Because you're busy, you have to attend to the needs. So that's like a certain type of a tirda, state of mind, of a bothered state of mind. Mm-hmm. So it could be similarly here, is that the avelus on Tisha B'Av begins in truth on Tisha B'Av. The real mourning of Tisha B'Av is Tisha B'Av, it's not Tisha B'Av yet. So you're at this point though, you're preparing for Tisha B'Av. You're eating, it's a fast day Tisha B'Av, it's not doing Tisha B'Av, but it's like you're in the mindset, Tisha B'Av is a reality to you, because you're preparing for it, and you're already beginning the Avelis in a sense, and Basar Nyayin and all that. But at the same time, the experience of Tisha B'Av is not yet upon you. And the involvement in the Eichon and the whole Yom is not yet there. So it's like you're in this, again, in that same type of a limbo state, where it's like your mind is on the Avelis, but you're not yet able to really be Mezabel. And the real avelus doesn't set in. So it puts you in this type of a state where it's like you're waiting for it. It's almost like you're waiting for Tisha B'Av to come. So it's not there yet, so you're not quite in the real. You can't engage in the morning in the full manner because it's not yet Tisha B'Av. And there is no Tosefas on Tisha B'Av itself. Right? So it's like you're eating. So you're not doing Tisha B'Av. But at the same time, your mind's eye is on Tisha B'Av. So it's like you end up with this type of a frustrated state where you're sad and in a way where you can't really mourn. So it's analogous. Right? Let's stop here. So I think what we do tomorrow, hopefully, is the next Gemara. It's Tanhasa, Magna Shinogalasa Malacha V'Tishra. So there's a question of, it gets into the Sugya of Mechzi Kiyora. Okay, could you say, because this din says there's a makam shalos and malach tishah b'av osin, makam shalolas is ein osin, depending on the makam, the minhag makam, whether the malacha, but with chal makam to me the chal betelim, but to me the chal them are always batal. Rav Shimon and Leolam with olam yasek lalas like talmachacham. Rav Shimon holds every person should make himself like talmachacham. So Gemara Msachim makes that a question: is that ki masik yehora? It's like you're bragging, I'm a talmachacham. Is that? Sounds like Tamach Tanakam holds you can't do that. Tamach Chacham or Bachal, but a regular person doesn't. But Rav Shimon will say, no, every person can make himself like Tamach Chacham. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's the Gemara there in Pesachim, which I think we have to look at, makes it in a Klaus HaHakira about the Sugya Mechzi Kiyora. So I think first we should take up, before we go to there, just what's the Inyan of Malach on Tisha B'Av? What's the different in Hagim? And what's the Tamach Chacham? Why is he different?
And then we could take up the machlokas about the Sihora. So that I think you have to look. Gemara and Imsachim elaborates a little more. All right? Yeah.